Right, Hebrews chapter 11. The last time we were together, we looked at accomplished believing of Jesus Christ. This week, what I've entitled the teaching is Lessons in Believing, Part 1, because I don't think you can do a definitive work on lessons in believing. So maybe we'll do Part 2, 3, and 4 as the years go by sometime. But Lessons in Believing in Hebrews chapter 11 is where I want to start. Hebrews chapter 11, a wonderful chapter on believing. And again, I wanted to reiterate something I said last time we were looking at the topic of believing, is that like really no topic in the Bible when we study it is to be an intellectual endeavor. It's not that we're doing something ever for the sake of research and research alone, right? You know, like when we learn something, and isn't it nice that we know this? The point of studying God's Word and looking at it is so that we can see results, and we can see, we can learn to believe God and walk with Him. Right? There has to be a reason for knowledge. Knowledge isn't to be accumulated just for the sake of accumulating knowledge. It's so that we can act on the knowledge that we have. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is a wonderful verse. It says, but without faith, it is impossible, verse 6, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? So without believing, it is impossible to please him. So we're to come to God, and we're to believe, first of all, that he is. Right? I think there's a lot of irreverence towards God in the world today, where God is relegated to, well, you know, I might get to that, right? You know, I'll give that a shot. But here God says, you know, you come to God and first of all you believe that he is, right? That he is what? He's God, right? That's where it starts. You believe. Proverbs says this way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, the beginning of all wisdom. It's the fear. The reverence for God is where it starts. If I don't reverence him, right, I'm not going to believe him. So you come to God, the first thing you do is you believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's interesting that that verse talks about pleasing God. In the previous verse, this verse 5, let's read it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on to say, without faith it is impossible to please him. So Enoch must have believed God if he pleased him, right? Let's look at Genesis chapter 5, just for a quick aside here. Remember, this is lessons in believing. What can we understand about believing? Things. How are we to learn to believe God? So Genesis chapter 5, if the Bible says Enoch pleased God, well, let's just see what it says about Enoch. Not a whole lot, right? There isn't a book on the life of Enoch. But there's some interesting verses in Genesis chapter 5, 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he had begat Methuselah 300 years. Right? It says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Like, not a lot said about him, right? But what's said is pretty powerful. How would you like to have that said about you? You know, that you walked with God your whole life, right? And begat sons and daughters, verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Twice it says that Enoch walked with God. So it's pretty clear, that God, what he thinks of Enoch, that he walked with him. Let's now look at Jude chapter 1. Another place that Enoch is mentioned in the book of Jude. Jude, and there are no chapters, so we're going to just go to verse 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, and this is the context here, is talking about those who are born of the wrong seed, those who serve the adversary, the devil. And when it says these, that's what it's talking about. Prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. It's probably the verse that has the word ungodly and the most in the whole Bible. Right? But interesting that Enoch, there's only a few verses about him in the Old Testament, but it says that he prophesied of the coming of who? Jesus Christ. Right? You see, it says he prophesied. It says here, let's read it again, verse 14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. See that? Enoch, when he prophesied, when he walked with God, he prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. So what was his believing regarding? Jesus Christ. See, less than believing, the center focal point of godly believing today is and has been is Jesus Christ. Right? Our believing is all concerning what Jesus Christ has done, what he is doing, what he will do. It's the focal point of all godly believing is Jesus Christ. That's a great lesson to learn, right? And that certainly fits with the whole context of Hebrews chapter 11, doesn't it? What's the whole chapter 11 and part of 12 about? The coming one, right? And all those who believed regarding the coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Mark chapter 9. That was a little bit of an aside, but I thought it was an important aside. Keep that in mind when we're going through these records concerning believing. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth away with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. You know, when you read these records, I read that record, every time I always have to stop at that verse 18. Now, I have children, you know, especially if you have children. I can't imagine what it would be like to have a son that the odd time a spirit will come and tear him, he would foam, gnash away with his teeth, and pine away, right? I can't imagine what that would be like to have a child that did that every once in a while, right? Jesus answered, verse 19, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So, you know, you got to really sit there and think about what's happening here. You have the kid now lying on the ground, writhing away, foaming at his mouth, right? Gnashing. Like it's a pretty serious situation, right? Jesus Christ here does not immediately reach over and heal that boy, right? I mean, he's probably the guy, probably, without question, he will be the man that is most qualified in the situation to reach down and heal that guy instantly, right? If that were possible, right? Would you say? I mean, if you had a vote of all the guys you could vote for, right? It wouldn't be the Reiki guy we're talking about, right? It would be Jesus Christ, right? Right, he'll be the guy, right? You know, and here's this boy, you know, doing this very, very evil thing on the ground. And Jesus Christ says, verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Right? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire. Do you think there's a good chance that this kid has some burn marks on his body? You think? Right? And into the waters to destroy him. Right? So this child probably got burn marks, and he says many times the spirit has tried to drown him, right? So I you know, you got to really put yourself in the situation of what's happening, what this father has gone through with this child, right? And with this problem, and Jesus Christ is, you know, the guy's doing his thing, you know, which is another less than belief. The adversary is pretty bold, okay? Here's an opportunity. Do you think the devil doesn't know in this situation that this man, Jesus Christ, can heal him? You think he's well aware? I think so, right? So what do you think he's going to try to do to stop it, right? Whatever he can, right? What's one thing you could do? Have the kid start going into his thrashing fit right here, right now. You know, I'm not trying to think for the adversary here, but seeing what's happening in the record here, right? And so he's doing everything he can, and then now the man responds, verse 28, 22, to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on him, on us, and help us, right? Now the man says to Jesus Christ, if you can do anything. Enoch pleased God because he believed regarding the coming one. Believing is to be regarding Jesus Christ. This man says to Jesus, if you can help us, right? Now, could Jesus help them? Was there any doubt? Was there a doubt in the man's heart? Possibly, right? He could have said to him, look, Jesus, I know you can help us, like the centurion, right? You know, I haven't found such great faith, right? Remember that? I think we might even read that later. I don't remember. But, you know, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus Christ's response, and, you know, I was reading an article on this particular verse, and the man wrote it, said that the response in the Greek is very emphatic. You know, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The emphasis is not a casual remark by Jesus Christ to the man. And I love that because most people in the world look for reasons to not be held accountable for things in life, right? So when the man said to Jesus Christ, if thou can help us, he didn't say, well, he said, look, if you can believe, right? That's the emphasis, right? It's not like, you know, if you can believe, all things are possible. No, it's emphatic. If you can believe, right? And I love that because if there was no accountability for believing, what the heck could I possibly do to change my circumstances? Right? What could I do, right? If it wasn't up to me to believe God, if it was up to my circumstances, if it was up to the ugliness of the situation that was happening to my child, if it was up to my upbringing, if it was up to my education, if it had anything to do with all of that, what could I possibly do? Right? Nothing. But Jesus Christ puts the onus right on the man. He said, look, if you can believe, right? The man, I feel for the man, because if you're in the situation that was my child and it happened for years and years, you might say there's a good chance that you might have lost any possible faith you ever had, any kind of possible believing you ever had in your life, you know? Yet, you know what? I wouldn't want pity, right? Would pity help the man?
No.
No. But, you know, how many believers look for pity in situations? Oh, look at me. You know, I've got this problem. I've always had this problem. Why can't you know? Don't you understand what I'm going through? You have never had to go through this before. How many people look for pity? I don't want pity. You know, I want to know how to believe God. That's what I want. I want to believe Him. So if a man comes to me, look, if you can believe, Raj, that's what I want, because that will help me. Everything else is not going to help me. It's going to keep me right where I'm at. Right? I don't want to stay there. You know, and I love the response. I love the response. You know, like, you know, bless the man's heart, right? And straight away, verse 24, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me. You got to love that, right? He didn't say, what? Don't you understand, Jesus? Look at the guy. He's burnt. He's drowning. Don't you understand what problems I'm having? Right? I don't need that. We don't need that. We need to know how to believe God, right? I want to believe Him. I don't want to stay in unbelief. That's easy, right? I think we've been successful at that in times in life, right? I could write a book on how to not believe God, right? Filled with all kinds of experiences. Here's a situation I never believed God. Here's a situation I never believed God. You know. The book to believe God has been written, right? And the experiences we need to look at are here already in the Bible, right? And they're simple. All he said was, Lord, help me. You know, and the Lord doesn't say, you idiot. He doesn't say that. Jesus Christ doesn't do that, right? Right. So, you know, look at, so let's keep reading here. Verse 24, help thou mine unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. So do you think that between that time, do you think he helped the man? Of course he helped him. Remember Peter sinking, you know, in the water? What did the Lord do? Reach for him and say, come up. Why'd you doubt, Peter? Why'd you doubt, right? Helped him up. He didn't say, ha, I knew you'd sink if you didn't look at me. No. He said, you know, why'd you doubt? And got him up, right? When Jesus saw the people coming, running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. Last attempt, excuse me a second here, tissue. Last attempt by the adversary to make things look really bad, right? Rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Oh, Jesus killed him. We knew that would happen. That's what he always, everywhere he goes, stupid, bad things, oh, he's dead, Jesus killed him. You can just see it. You know, the people, the adversaries kneeling of a situation, right? All the people who really believe in Jesus, oh, I killed him, right? Didn't we tell you? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose, right? You know, so you think the man believed? Right? He sure did. You know how I know that? Because it says in verse 24, Lord, I believe, right? I don't have to, there's no doubt, you don't have to doubt it. I didn't make that up. He said, I believe. Help me. Wherever I'm not believing, help me to believe, right? I just love that record, you know? See, most people in life are not as honest as that man, right? Most of us sometimes in life are not as honest as that man, right? How willing am I to God to say, look, God, I don't understand. Help me, you know? Or am I more tempted to think, well, you know, it's been a long time. It's been 12 years. I use that number very wise. You know, it's been a long time. I'm a little tired in that area of my life. Can we just leave it set? You know, I'm willing to live in my own, you know. No, don't want to live there. We don't want to live there. We want to go to God and say, help my unbelief wherever I have unbelief. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to live there. Who wants to live in that town? Mark 11, the town of unbelief. Millions not receiving daily. Mark chapter 11. You see, Jesus Christ, Jesus couldn't go to that man and tell, you know, he couldn't say things like, how long shall I suffer the unbelief if that wasn't the case, right? He couldn't just call them on it and say, this is the reason it's not happening if that wasn't the reason, right? And he couldn't also tell him to believe if the man honestly couldn't have the choice to believe. Right? He had the option. He gave him the option. In Mark chapter 11, verse 27, it says, and they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Right? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? So, here's the question. Could they have believed him? Oh, so believing is under a person's control, right? A person can choose to believe or what? Not to believe. Right? It's pretty clear. I mean, it's not like, you know, all my situation or my where I grew up and, you know, or my sister, you know, is always giving me a hard time, you know, or my brother or my mom. You can choose to believe. These guys could have chosen to believe. Yeah? Isn't that what it says there? He's going to ask them, well, why didn't you believe him? How could you ask someone that if you couldn't believe him anyway? You can always believe, right? Luke chapter 17. See, hearing the word of God is not enough. Right. Because those guys there, they could have chosen to believe him had they heard the word. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. Just like the guy in the sower and the seed, right? All cases, all four cases there, did they all hear the word? Right? And they all made up their mind, some by pressure and, you know, pleasures and all these things, and, you know, some by the ways didn't hear just quite enough yet, but some heard it, put it in their heart, didn't actually root themselves in it. All of them, right? They all had the option to keep the word they had heard, right? It was their choice, right? But hearing it is not enough, right? You have to believe it, right? If I hear it all my life and never believe, it's no benefit to me. None. I want to believe what I hear. In Luke chapter 17. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Right? They came to him, and, you know, this is, I can just see them. I want to have more believing. Increase our faith. Let's get it really up there. You know, we got about that much. He said, maybe you can see them, you know, negotiating before they went to see Jesus. You know, well, look, I've got about that much. I'd like to get up to this level here. So they go to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, you know, we're playing by the rule book here now. Teach us how to increase that faith, right? I love his response. Verse 6, the Lord said, if he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, right? And, you know, as we know, mustard seed, very small seed, right? Just a little bit. You might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Right? A pretty impossible sounding task, right? So what does he do? He takes the example of a little seed. There's a little seed here, and he compares that bit of a seed to being able to take a tree, a sycamore tree, from what I understand, one of the hardest trees to unroot in the East, because the root system goes all over, just like willows, I guess. And who can plant a tree under the water anyway? Right? Pretty impossible thing to do, plant a tree underwater. So he says, this little bit of a seed compares it to the believing they required in order to take the hardest tree to uproot and to plant in probably the most difficult spot. Right? Is, you see, it's not the amount of believing that we have, right? It's not that you have this much and all of a sudden you increase it. It's not that way at all. From what I understand, and again, this is lessons in believing now, okay? You see different, you know, we got to see what the word says. He says, if you have that much believing, you can do this to the tree, which, so what is it? It's not the amount you have, it's simple. It's that you believe. You have it, right? It's not that you have this much or this much, it's that you have it, right? Whether you, see, there are no degrees to believing God. It's either you believe or you don't believe. Right? You know, again, the same thing that the Lord went to that man who had the boy there. He said, look, if you can believe, right? Again, if I couldn't be that honest with myself, you know, God's word is pretty brutally honest. I'm an engineer, okay? I like to think in engineering terms here, and I'm sitting the other day in my bed thinking about this equation that I always like to have in my head. You know, simple equation. It says, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. It's my favorite equation in the Bible. You know, speaking from an engineering point of view, Andrew, you can associate with this now, right? Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So the equation is, there's this stuff you can ask for, and you apply the formula of believing, and then you receive. And then I'll sit back in my bed and say, okay, what parts of this equation do I understand, right? Okay, the part that says, whatsoever you should ask in prayer, that's a pretty easy variable to fill in, right? Because we all know what we want, right? We all know what we need, right? So, healing, health, prosperity, understanding, peace, good marriage, good job, whatever I need, I can fill that variable in. You know, we used to work in university and trying to solve for variables and equations all the time, right? There's always variables you got to solve. So that part of the equation I understand. Okay, all things whatsoever you shall ask, I understand that part. Believing you shall receive. Now the receive part is really easy, right? Everybody here, you know. Can I have an amen on the receive part? Amen. Okay. <good. laughs> Yeah, okay. I've been watching too many religious films lately. You know, the receiving part's pretty simple. So you got the what you can ask for, and you got the receiving. What's in the middle of the equation? Believing. So if I ask according to God's word, and I don't get the right side of the equation receiving, what is possibly missing? Believing. Because the word of God assures me, if I have that much, right, it can see this. If I don't see this, and I've asked over here properly, what's missing is, Raj, you did not believe me, right? Now, if God can be that honest with me, I can do something about it, right? If he can't be that honest with me, I don't know what to do. We can just kind of float along in the misty flats and say, well, hit and miss, maybe this time, maybe that time, right? So if I know that I can do something about it, that's good, right? I think, that's a good thing. If I can't do anything about it, I'm lost, just like the rest of the world will be when it comes to believing God. But when God says, you know, okay, you didn't believe, and they say, okay, Father, help me. Help my unbelief in this area, right? And so you go to God's word, and you find what it says, just like we're doing now, lessons in believing. You find what it says. Okay, believing has to be regarding Jesus Christ. How does that help me? Okay, I got to look at God's word to see what he has accomplished for me, to see what's already been given to me. So when it says that by his stripes you're healed, I understand, aha, that's already been given to me. I can pray that. I can ask for that. So you see how you're filling in these things regarding Jesus Christ. If I am anxious for something, if I pray, it says that the peace that passes understanding shall keep me, you know, keep my hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Oh, so what he did for me allows God to keep my heart at peace. You see how we can go to God's word and find those things regarding Jesus Christ that we can believe to fill in the missing variable, which is believing, right? Now, if I ask awry, you know, if I ask for the wrong thing, yeah, I'm not going to receive it. We all understand that. That's pretty simple to understand. It's the times, I think, that we ask for what we know is available and we don't receive it. Those are the times that we sometimes can be filled with a little bit of question. What happened, God? How come I didn't? Why? I have to go back to the record in Mark where it says, help my unbelief. Right? You know, that's okay. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit that I have unbelief in areas, right? I'd be the first to admit that I have unbelief in areas. But I'll also tell you, I know what to do about it, right? Because the Word of God tells me what to do. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word, right? Word of God. Some of the lessons in believing are a bit harsh. I realize that, right? But the Word, that's what the Word says. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Again, I've been studying this topic lately because I'm vitally interested in not having unbelief in areas of life. 9. In a Bible study series called Bible Kinds of Faith, there was a really wonderful definition given for believing that I had been trying to understand for a while. I don't say I fully understand it yet, but I'm starting to as I look in God's Word at more and more topics. What was written there was, believing is not an unattached process of mental exertion. It is acting on the information received. Right? Believing is not an unattached process of mental exertion. It is acting on the information received. Now, we used to say it another way, right? Some people believe that believing is like an air hammer, where you concentrate really hard. Oh, I'm going to believe God right now, right? It's not some unattached process of mental exerting, where you exert your mind. It's acting on the information received. Another way we used to say it was, if you pray for rain, take an umbrella. It's the same thing, right? Because you're acting on the information. In that kind of situation, you probably need to receive revelation from God, right, that you can pray for that. But whatever you know you can pray for or ask God for, then we're to act on the information. It's not just sitting back and saying, you know, sometimes I got to exert my mind pretty hard to try to understand a promise in God's word. That's fine. That's what it takes, okay? But it's not just, you know, where we sit back and say, oh, I'm going to believe. No, it's acting on the information received. So what does it mean to act on the information received? That is dependent upon the specific situation that you're looking for answers in. I can't give you, there's no one thing to do in that case. It depends on where you're at, what you're doing, right? Maybe it's for a guy who has a withered hand, it's to stretch forth his hand, right? Maybe it's for a guy who has no inability to walk with his legs, it's to leap up and walk, right? whatever it is, whatever the thing to act on depends on the particular promise we're talking about, right? And that has to be, that's specific, right? That promise. You understand? Mm-hmm. Matthew 9:28. And when he was come into the house, verse 27. Let's start with 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came and said to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yeah, Lord. Then touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. See, as soon as they believed, right? As soon as they believed, the eyes were opened, right? It's whether either you believe or you don't. Right? Either I believe or I don't, right? That's it. It's that simple. As soon as they believed, wow, results. John chapter 5. Another lesson in believing in John chapter 5 that I love. Whether I love it or not, doesn't matter. It's in the Word, so I better believe it. My particular emotional response isn't important, I suppose. John chapter 5. See, I mean, you can underlying all of this is, if there's a promise right there in God's word, we can take great, we can 100%, that's it. That is true, right? It is absolutely true. Your experience or my experience is not of significance here. The promise is true, right? It's true. As soon as I believe it, I will see the result. That will never change. That is not going to change, okay? John 5, 35. He was a burning and a shining... Am I in the right place? Yes, I am. I think I am. Yes, I am. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And that verse in 39 literally says, you know, you guys search the scriptures. You look at the word of God, and they testify of me. Yet you won't come to me to have the life that the scriptures promise. Calling them on the carpet type of statement. You guys study the scriptures, and they testify of me, and yet you won't come to me for eternal life. Right. Verse 41, I received not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the word love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you'll receive. Verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know, what a great scripture. How he asked those men, how can you believe? When they were more interested in the honor that comes from man, right? Now, you know, I read that and I go, okay, how can I apply this to myself, right? Remember, lessons in believing, right? Because Jesus Christ said, you know what? You have trouble believing if you like the honor of men. How can you believe, he said, if you receive honor from men? The way Paul the Apostle, let's read that in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read that. I want you to read that. Galatians chapter 1. Paul put it a little differently, but essentially the same truth. He said it from his own point of view. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, Jesus Christ said, how can you believe if you would like the honor of men? Paul said, if you like to please men, you can't be a servant of Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, for me, I got to think, okay, how does that help me in my believing? Well, if I care more about what you think about me, right, than what God thinks about me, I'm going to have trouble believing, right? Because I'm more concerned about your praise or your glory, your honor of me. Or if you care more about your spouse or you care more about your friends or your coworkers or anybody in the world. Like, you know, in the end, we just want to believe God. You know, I want you to think well of me, and I'm sure you want me to think well of you, and we'd like to think well of each other. But in the end, if that's more important to me than believing God, right, then I'm going to have difficulty believing. If I'm more concerned about pleasing my wife than I am about pleasing God, I will have trouble believing him. Right? That's the lesson for me I take from this. If I'm more concerned about pleasing my children than trusting God, I will have trouble believing. Right? If I care, well, you know, well, Raj is sick, you know, he must not be believing. Well, I'm going to say, well, I know I'm not, you know, I can make all kinds of excuses. I don't want to do that, right? I want to believe God, right? I know we all want to believe God. I'm speaking for myself, but I know you do. We all want to believe God, right? So, lesson for me, I don't want to get into pleasing people or honoring people, you know, over God, right? If I set aside a period of time to study God's word, I've done it many times where there will be an interruption. Right? Many, many times. This is just me. I'm speaking for myself now. We're all different, right? If I had the set time, I want to study the Bible, something always comes up, right? Okay, now I got to think of that situation. An example, okay? That situation, something comes up, right? How important is the thing that just came up? Which one am I going to ignore? Right? Because I have the choice. You know, he told them, look, you guys could have believed, but, you know, you didn't believe in John the Baptist. It was your choice. You could have believed, right? I have the choice. We always have the choice when it comes to that kind of situation. Am I going to honor him or am I going to please people? What am I going to do, right? Again, that's just an example from my own life, but, you know, I'm sure we all have the cases where, you know, because if I want to believe God in an area, right, if I don't put any effort into believing him in that area, guess what? I will never believe him in that area. It's just not going to happen. Life doesn't work that way, right? God doesn't just say, well, I'm going to just give you the ability to believe me, right? That's not how it works. I hate that because I really wish since I got born again that I would automatically believe everything God says. Wouldn't that be great? You know? God just says, yeah, you're going to believe everything from now on. You don't have to even think about it, you know? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Yeah. It wouldn't be so fantastic, would it, right? See, God says, you know, you're talking, Andrew, about freedom of will, right? There you go. Freedom of will. He says, okay, you can believe me or not. And he says the steps towards believing are simple. You know, they may not seem so simple sometimes when we're stuck in our particular rut of unbelief in some particular area of our life, right? It may not seem so simple. But when you go back to it, you go, okay, here's that formula. You look at it, okay, I can work in the middle part, you know, which is what Lessons in Believing is entitled to do, is designed to do for myself and for is to help us. Okay, is there areas in my life that I choose to please man? My coworkers, my spouse, my children, my friends, and not him, right? You know, how much reverence do I have for him when I have the hour to study his word? How much reverence do I have for him to spend that time? If I'm going to pray to him, is it a prayer of thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for that, and I'm on my way? Is that reverencing him, right? Or is it a matter of saying, Father, I don't know what to do today. You know, I just don't know right now. I'm kind of lost, you know. Which one do you think is more honest to him, right? Or is it more of me just going through the motions of doing my 20, 35, 50, whatever hours, minutes, 10 minutes, whatever we do? Is it me just going through those motions of, you know, well, I've done my bit? You know, is that reverencing him? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. I can answer for myself, right? honestly tell you, some days where I'm going to pray for people, it's easier for me, not easier, but it's better for me to say to the Father, Father, I don't know what to do right now because I'm just uptight or something's going on and I need to deal with it. And any prayer offered to him at that time is not going to be a prayer of believing at all. I know that for myself, right? Again, lessons in believing. We're just talking here. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. A couple more verses. People, we sometimes just are not honest enough. People aren't honest enough with their own lives sometimes. You know, and we need to be honest. That's what I love about some of the men in God's Word. You know, I can't believe that God would work with Gideon or with Moses or with, you name it, right? How many of them said, yeah, I'm ready. Well, let's go. I can't speak. Nope. Not interested. Thank you. You know, I'd rather thresh wheat in the middle of an indentation in the ground where people can't see me, you know. Mighty man of valor. Hello, mighty man of valor down there in the dark, hiding from the enemy. You know, like, they were honest. Honest. You know, I can't speak for you, God. You know, honest. I'm ready to die, Elijah, right? I'm ready. I had it. There's nobody else left who believes you, Father. Let's get it over with. Honest, you know. God worked with them. So don't be afraid to be honest, but let's be honest. If I'm not honest, you know, I can't believe him. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Right? We must recognize that day by day by day, in our endeavors to believe God, there will be things thrown in your way to not believe him, right? Whatever form they take, whatever fashion they, there are things. I mean, things happen all the time that try to stop you. Here's a fine example. You know, the guy, he was pretty much convinced, right? When he came to him, he didn't say to her, if you can do it. He said, look, come pray and she shall be healed, right? That's what he said. And then on the way, they said, your daughter's dead. And so this little, you know, wonderful message. Now, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word. As soon as he heard it. You see, he, again, in that company of folks, who would you think is probably the most sharpest person there, right? I mean, you know, no irreverence to the Lord intended, I assure you. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, what did he say? Be not afraid, only believe, right? You stick to what is true. Only believe. That's what he told the man. He didn't say, okay, lots going on in life. You know, understand there's pressures in life. There's all this problems happening all around you. You know, we all have... He didn't say any of that. He just demanded one thing of that man, right? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Stick to what you know is true, right? Now, I love that record, you know, and... We'll close in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Told the man, don't be afraid, only believe. You know, and honestly, again, we're talking about lessons in believing. Isn't that one of the fears? It won't work? What happens if it doesn't work? Well, guess what? You're no better off afterward than you were before. So you might as well give it a shot, right? You see, I mean, nothing to lose, but everything to gain, right? You know, so there's a fear there. Maybe the immediate fear in that father's heart was, oh, no, you know. No, he said, to counteract that, the Lord said, get rid of that. Only believe. No fear. You only believe, right? No excuses, no stopping, no giving up, no alternatives, right? There's the one choice. Believe this. right? You know, and many of us, the first time we spoke in tongues, you know, I'm sure you thought it wasn't possible. I'm sure that thought crossed, I mean, I shouldn't say I'm sure. I know my thought crossed my mind. I'll speak for myself, right? Was it possible? Was God ever the person in the whole equation? Let's go back to that equation, you know. What's available? God's part. How to give it to you? His part. The believing, my part. Right? Do you think that God is going to mess up in any part of that equation? No. Not a chance. Again, this is not to intended to say, you know, well, oh, you guys don't believe God. I don't believe. It's not that. The point is, what can I do to believe him? Right? And if I don't even think that it's that I can actually do something about it, I will never do anything about it. I can't. Right? Then I'm going to wait until something just miraculously happens, and I all of a sudden believe him. Right? And guess what? It doesn't work that way. We'll close in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, verse 1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The man believed God? Otherwise it wouldn't have happened, right? Otherwise those ankle bones wouldn't have received strength. He wouldn't have gotten up on his feet and leaping, verse 8, and leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, entered with them, sorry, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" That's a great question, right? It's like, you're surprised? You know? It's the same God that's part of the Red Sea, isn't it? The same God that brought down the city of Jericho, the walls, right? The same God that raised people from the dead. The same God that fought the armies of Israel. The same God. So, as you know, as, why marvel ye at this? It's one of those questions where, like, when they were watching Jesus go up into the air, they're like, "Why are you guys looking up into the air?" Well, he's up there, and what would you do? The guy's walking and leaping. What would you do? "Or why look he so earnestly on us, as though by our own prayer, power, or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you deny the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. The faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all," right? Perfect soundness, right? You believe, either you believe or you don't, right? He believed, perfect soundness, walking, leaping, praising God, right? Up an ankle, immediately, as soon as he believed, it was done. As soon as the blind guys believed, it was done. Those who didn't choose to believe, but chose the honor of men over that, couldn't believe God. How can you believe if you think that way, you know? Or the man who brought the son, you know, "Look, if you can believe. Look, if you can believe. Don't put it on me." You know, that's the emphasis. Don't say if I can do anything, if you can believe, right? You know, put that right back where it belonged. It belonged with the man, right? You know, All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. It's true today, and all the promises of God are still true, will always be true, right? So, you know, I hope this helps. I hope it helps to look at some of these records, you know, and think about, you know, what lesson can I learn? What can I learn that could possibly help me to believe God? Because we all want to believe God in the end. You know, it's not that we learn all these verses, memorize hundreds of verses, and say, wow, I know so much. You know, believe so little, but know so much. I want to believe. You know, I want to walk on the promise. I want to see the results that God's word promises, right? So, you know, a little bit on lessons of believing. I mean, I'm personally working this topic. I'm personally going to keep working it. Because just about mastered it. Another week or so, I should have it mastered. Yeah, right. You know. So it's an area that, you know, that if you learn anything, I'd be more than happy. You know, if you see something in that area, I'd be more than happy to hear what you have that you've learned. Because I want to believe. You know, we all want, you know, Patrick, you were mentioning about the body of Christ, you know, helping one another. I want to be told, if I have an area in my life and someone, you know, again, there's another example where if something's, I'm not believing God in an area, I don't mind you coming to me and say, hey, what's, we don't accuse, well, why can't you believe? I don't mean it that way. I mean, look, how can you help me to believe something? How can I help you? You know, because in the end, I don't want to stay in unbelief, right? I'm sure you don't want to stay in unbelief in areas either. Again, that's another thing. One thing I have seen about believing in the Word is that there are areas you can believe God, right? Areas where you can't. Like, it's not like you believe everything, but, you know, I do believe that it says that, you know, either you believe or don't believe, but there are areas you can believe, other areas where you can't believe. That I've seen that, right? That is definitely true in the Word, right? Anyhow, a little bit of lessons in belief. Enough said.